Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us this evening. What a gorgeous day outside today, let me tell you. It was 72 degrees when I got out of my car in the parking lot here. And I remember walking out of church tonight and just looking up the sky and kind of a neat sunset going on. But it was kind of nice. There was just a little bit of a breeze coming across the parking lot, and it felt very comfortable. And, here in mid-July, I guess we're mid-July now almost. It's, I guess tomorrow officially be mid-July, still early July. But usually we start getting the humidity setting in pretty good about now. But it was pretty nice today. And like I said, getting out of the car here at the parking lot, the station, coming in, just absolutely nice looking up at the sky. And some interesting cloud formations going by. But other than that, a very beautiful day today. We had a little rain at our house last night, which is good. The garden needs it. But it's kind of nice when the rain comes at night and it doesn't interfere with the day. But really nice outside. Hope you had a chance to be out and enjoy it. Hope you had a chance to be in church today and celebrate and worship the Lord in your church today. Well, we're going to be talking about a variety of things tonight. But of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let me encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll be able to find out not only more about me and the program, but you can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Go down on the page there, on the right-hand side of the page, and you will see previous recordings, and you can listen to your heart's content. I've mentioned before about somebody I knew from high school, and I was talking to him after coming back from the Samoan Islands, and I saw his brother, who's his younger brother, and he had since gone on to college and become an anesthesiologist, and I hadn't seen him in probably 20 years or something, and he was saying, "Well, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm doing the same thing you do. I just don't get paid as much," and he thought for a minute and he kind of chuckled, but it's like I said, if you need something to help get you to sleep at night, we got plenty of programs there at livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to both hours of our Sunday night program there. They're divided up into hour one and hour two. You can also listen to our half hour Friday afternoon programs. And if you don't have time to listen to all those during the day or during the week, you can check them out online at livewithpastoral.com. There's also some other materials there and links to a number of articles that I've written and over the years. And you can find all that and more, as well as a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We're a small church located in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And there'll be more information on our church coming up here on the breaks, but suffice to say, if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can click on the links there. And somebody asked me one time, they said, "Are you like an assistant pastor or a staff pastor? What are you?" I said, "I'm the only pastor." So we're not that big a church to have staff. I'm the staff. I'm the pastor, the staff, all of it. So, I really shouldn't say all of it, because really, we're an independent Baptist church, which means we look to Jesus Christ as the head of our church. So I'm not even the head of the church. It's Jesus Christ that's the head of the church. And so we are located, like I said, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right near where Interstate 77 and 271 cross. And so easy to get to. More information about that in on the breaks. Or you can just go to livewithpastoral.com and you can click on the information there. Other thing that you can find there, there's a link to some, like I said, different articles. And I was just looking for what I was looking for. Here it is. Our various social media platforms. And we've got a variety of social media platforms, and you can go there at livewithpastoral.com, and you can click on some of those social media platforms, and you can follow us there. We're on several of them, and so you can go there. You can see, and there's CloudHub, Facebook, Gab, Getter, MeWe, Minds, Telegram, True Social, Twitter, USA.life, YouTube, Zapit, different ones, and I think that's where we're at right at the moment. Love to have you check us out on some of those things and like us on those various social media platforms as well. I don't know when it changed, but I remember people used to always push, like us on Facebook. We've got so many likes right now. Like us on Facebook. And then, of course, the program, they would go, oh, look, we got another 100,000 likes. You know, I wonder sometimes when they're that number of them. But back when everything was new and before, you know, the censorship of Facebook became very evident, it was rather interesting. You know, you would hear people say, like us on Facebook. And then they would call out their number of likes as they were going on the program. And I'm on Facebook still, despite the problems. But let's face it, Facebook does something that they do well, and it has a large audience, and so it's a good way to reach people. And same with Twitter. Twitter's got a large audience as well. But in some ways, there's a couple platforms I like better, like Gab and MeWe and USA.life. Everything has its strengths and its weaknesses, and with all things, I just simply try to get out various articles that I write, some comments, and usually online, like I like to share a lot of news articles and stories that I come across, and sometimes I'll have a little commentary on them, sometimes not much, sometimes a little more, sometimes not at all, but I try to put that on there. Those things usually don't make it to the website. Usually the website's a little more static, so that it takes a little more to do the website, and since I'm the one that does all that, it's usually on the website. It's mostly when I publish a new article or a church newsletter or some major announcement, and then of course all of our past programs and different things that I have on there. So let me encourage you to check out the website at livewithpastoral.com, and then check out what social media we're on, and if there's one that you like, follow that. Follow us on there and like us on there, or whatever the designation is for those various social media platforms, and you can keep in touch while we're on there. And certainly pray for us, pray for our program. Our goal is to do a good job trying to help people, point people to Christ, encourage a biblical worldview, and lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. So that's kind of what we try to do, help people understand the world in light of God's Word. So you're listening, as I said, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to get into our program here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight one more time. Pray that you would bless the program this evening. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And all things, help us to lift up and glorify Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, one other thing I want to mention here before we get going too far. I got to dig my calendar out. This digital age, I still like a pocket calendar. I don't know why. I was reading a thing on books, you know. I just recently read a trilogy, a series of three books on electronic media. Not Kindle, but it was similar. It was all online or on my computer. And so I can read books on the computer, but I'd much rather hold a book in my hands. There's just something about it, you know, the way you turn the pages, you can set it down. You don't have to worry about setting your cell phone on time. In fact, I use my cell phone sometimes to hold open the pages when I go to get something, you know, in their cup of coffee or something. And there's just something about holding a book that just you just can't replicate with a Kindle. And I kind of feel the same way towards pocket calendars. I just like to be able to have it all at my fingertips, and I can thumb through, and I don't have to scroll from screen to screen. I can just kind of thumb through it here. And the reason I was doing that is coming up at the end of the month, and it's hard to believe, but we are getting close. I mean, it's, let's see, 1, 2, 3 weeks from Tuesday. Summit County Fair starts out in Talmadge, Ohio, and some of you have stopped by our church's booth at the Summit County Fair, and just want to let you know we're planning on being out there again this year. The Summit County Fair runs from Tuesday, July the 25th, through Sunday, July the 30th. And I'm generally out there most days except for Sunday. Sunday I have to be back at church, but much of our church is out there on Sunday, so we're kind of split on Sunday, some of us in our location in Richfield and some of us at the fair booth. But I'm out there most of the week, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, from the time the place opens until the time the place closes. And except on Friday the 28th, I leave a little earlier in the evening for our Friday night Bible study, and then I'm there all day Saturday from opening to close. And then, like I said, I'm not there on Sunday because I have our own church. I have to be there for that. But if you are able to come out Summit County Fair this year, let me encourage you to stop by and say hello at our booth, and we'd love to meet you at the Summit County Fair. And we are looking forward to it this year. It sounds like they've got a lot more going on, and they have sold more commercial space and everything. So I think people's getting over the COVID fears and things like that, getting back to normal. And so we're looking forward to a great time at Summit County Fair at the end of this month, July 25th through July 30th. Hope to see you out there at the Summit County Fair. All right. Well, as I said, you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. And we're going to be mentioning some things about issue one here in a few minutes, but we're going to get Nancy on here first. Nancy's patiently waiting for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Good evening.
Good evening to you. My question, comment, is concerning 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Mm-hmm.
And we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I just find this whole thing, and I'm sure everybody else does too, so fascinating. But is there any place else in the Bible that describes exactly how this comes about? Do we just fly up in the air? I mean, like birds? Or does anybody have any ideas about just how this comes about? Thank you.
Well, that is a good question. And yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and where you were reading there, actually the whole thing starting in verse 13, talking about the catching away the believers, an event called the rapture. We call it the rapture. And you know, you always get the people who complain, oh, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, that's true. The word rapture isn't in the Bible, but the concept is. It actually comes from the phrase there where it says that we'll be caught up to be with the Lord in the air in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And it doesn't say rapture there because it's Greek, and that's translated into English. But when you translate the Greek into Latin, you have the word rapiro there, mean to be snatched up and rapidly, quickly. That's where we get the word rapid from, you know, because it's quick.
Oh.
It's rapid. And there's a type of sword called the rapier, and it's based on this as well, because it's a sword that's light and it's designed to move quickly. And so this is where the idea comes from, to be caught up. And also you can see the word rapture in another English word, to be enraptured, E-N. At the beginning, you know, somebody watches a concert and they get caught up in the music, and it's just like Blossom Music Center this time of year. You know, they had their we can hear the fireworks going off at Blossom, where that we're close enough to hear that, and they play the 1812 Overture. And in it's a real powerful piece, and it comes to the climax. And as the climax comes, and they're shooting off the cannons, and then the fireworks go off, it's easy to get caught up in the music and in the sounds and the sights and everything, and you just get carried away with it, and you say you're enraptured.
Oh,
you're caught up. And so you can see where you get the word rapture then, meaning caught up. And so that's where that word comes from. And so we're caught up, and the idea is the idea of being caught up quickly. And you asked if there's another part of the Bible that talks about this, then there is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 here is one of the primary ones. Another one of the primary passages is back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 really brings across the idea of being caught up quickly, because this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. And let's start in verse number 51. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." But this phrase here, in a moment, here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 15, verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, is the idea of it happening rapidly, quickly. And again, the phrase to be caught up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 17, it's literally like to be snatched up quickly. And so that gives us some insight. There is a lot of speculation, you know, as to other aspects of what happens at the time of the catching away of the believers. What happens, for instance, to the physical body? And some people have wondered, and the general thought is that the body, what happens is exactly what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 15, where he said in verse 53, or I'm sorry, at the end of verse 52, we shall be changed. Okay, so this implies that the body itself experiences a change. And he explains that change in verse 53. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And this is the difference. We will be different than we are now. In fact, a couple verses earlier, he says in verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And there's that idea of change again. And then it comes into that, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, or the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So the idea is the body that we have is changed from a mortal body to an immortal body. One change that definitely would take place is the body that we have right now has a sin nature. It's contaminated with mm-hmm. sin. The new body will have no sin nature. It'll no longer have the taint of sin. So that's one advantage there. We know that it's not going to be corruptible. It'll be incorruptible, so it's not going to age. It's not going to be prone to sickness, things like that. So that kind of gets away from the idea that some have speculated that, the body will just drop there and we'll just be... No, the body is going to be changed, which suggests the body is brought up too. In fact, when you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when he says there in verse number 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, some people falsely claim the Bible teaches soul sleep, which means you die and your spirit and your soul sleeps in your body in the grave until the time of the resurrection. What this is saying here is that when this event takes place, them which sleep in Jesus, it says, will God bring with him. And in fact, as you read it a little bit further, it says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Well, how can the dead in Christ rise first if they're with him? Well, that's because soul and spirit, they're with him, but the body is in the grave. And so the body is raised, changed into an incorruptible body. The mortal body is changed into an immortal body. It's a dead body changed into a living body. So the body is raised from the grave and reunited with the soul and the spirit. So that implies very strongly for those who are alive when this event takes place that your body is not going to be left behind. It too will be changed, and it also will be raised up to be with the Lord in the air. And that's what it said, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so the body will be taken. And that's why if you've seen some of these movies like the Left Behind series and you know, decades ago, remember back in the 70s, they came out with the Thief in the Night series?
Oh, yes, I saw those.
And there's been a number of other movies where they've pictured the rapture taking place, and you'll see like a pile of clothes because the body's gone. And it's going to be a new body. It's going to be changed. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 are probably the two biggest passages dealing with the account of the rapture. There's other passages that deal with it, to a lesser extent. One of them that I would look at is in the book of Titus, the little book of Titus. And in Titus chapter 2, Paul is writing to Titus. Titus is a young preacher, and he's writing to him. And there's a sentence that starts in verse 11. Now, this is one of the advantages of having a King James Bible. We have the original long sentence structures that the modern versions break up into separate sentences. They do that to the detriment of the Scripture. People who look at that, they've been sold a bill of goods that simpler is better. Shorter is better. No, you have disrupted the flow of the teaching, the ideas, and everything that's in there. Why not expand your ability to learn and to read so that you can understand longer, more complex things than have to have little short bullet statements? And besides, when you break up these longer sentences, you make independent clauses become independent statements, which they're not. They're clauses that may be in a sentence, but they're there to serve overall the central idea of the sentence. So after having said all that, in the King James, we read in Titus chapter 2, starting in verse number 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." We're still in the same sentence, verse 13, "looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God And our Savior, Jesus Christ, the sentence still continues at verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And when you look at that long sentence that stretches from verse 11 through verse 14 there, and it's talking about what God has done and is doing for us, one of the things that he's doing for us, is going to do for us, and has for us to help us in our walk with him, is this idea in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God, of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And when you look at that closely, it says, looking for that blessed hope, comma, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the blessed hope is separated from the glorious appearing. The glorious appearing is the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation period. But the great, the blessed hope is what we were looking at in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's the catching away of the believers. And you know, we're to be living for God. God has given us his grace that's brought salvation to us. He's teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. He's telling us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And while we're doing that, we're not to be overwhelmed. We're not to be overcome. But instead, we're to be looking up for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, which means we're supposed to be looking for two events, the rapture, the catching away of the believers, and the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation period.
Can I just wait one thing?
Yeah.
Boy, up to that Titus 2:13, here it has the rapture and the end of the tribulation all in one verse.
Yes.
That is a very powerful.
Isn't that amazing?
Point that out. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a tremendous passage, and like I said, when you read it all with the in the same sentence, you can see what God is telling us to do, what God's done for us, and what we're to do. And while we're doing it, we're not to be overwhelmed. We're supposed to be looking up. And that ties in to me with what Jesus said in Luke 21, where he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, and he's talking about events that will take place during the tribulation period, meaning seeing the foreshadowing of those things. He says, and when these things begin to come to pass, in Luke 21, verse 28, he says, then lift up your heads, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I can't help but think that what he's saying there is when you see the events setting up for the tribulation period, which we clearly see around us right now.
Oh, for sure.
We're not supposed to be overwhelmed. We're supposed to remember what God's done for us and what we're supposed to be doing, and that we should be looking up, and that we should be looking for that blessed hope. And so that catching away the believers, that's the blessed hope, that it'll happen sooner than later, that it'll happen before things get too much worse. We know from elsewhere in Scripture that it will happen before the tribulation takes place, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says we're not appointed under wrath, and the tribulation period is a period of the wrath of God on the world from the very beginning. Some people say, well, it'll happen after the tribulation starts, but before the wrath of God comes down. Well, no, I'm sorry. The wrath of God starts in the very beginning, and it just gets worse through the tribulation. But no, we have that blessed hope, and we're to look up. We're looking forward to what God's going to do for us, and we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And then the Lord's going to come back, and we're going to return with us. Revelation chapter 19, it's also illustrated there in Zechariah chapter 12, 13, you know, where it talks about the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation. And Daniel chapter 9 and his great prophecy there, the 70 weeks of years, talks about him coming and everything being taken care of to where he can set up his millennial kingdom here on this earth. So we're looking forward to those two things, the catching away of the believers, and then the return to the earth during that time. Isn't that exciting?
Well, very exciting, and thank you. so reassuring. And yeah. Happy birthday to Lauren, too.
All right. Yeah, happy birthday to Lauren as well. Thank you very much. Well, thank you, Nancy. We got a break coming up. Stay tuned. We got another hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we're going to touch on a couple of things here, and we got some callers already waiting for us. But if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And again, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can certainly find out more about me and more about the program. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I am the pastor. And you can listen to past programs there and a number of other materials all there at livewithpastoral.com. Of course, Richfield Bible Baptist Church is not only my home church where I'm the pastor, but also the main sponsor of our program here tonight. But we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 King Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Also, if you are interested in starting your own business, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And talk to Gus, and he can help you get started in your own pizza business. Not a franchise, be your own business. He'd be glad to help you out. He'll work things out with you and help you get started in your own pizza business. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 4889 Turney Road, across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call 216-341-9100. All right, we're going to get back to our program tonight, and we've got a couple of callers waiting. And before we do that, because I'm going to run out of time, I need to, before the end of this hour, I wanted to mention again the importance of issue one on the ballot, special election August the 8th, for there's only one issue, and it is a very important issue. This is issue one on the ballot August 8th, special election. Issue one, it is issue one, and it is the only issue that's important right now. Somebody said this one's for all the marbles, and I think they're right. The devil appears to not like this issue very much and seems to be fighting against it, but through a series of miraculous turn of events, I really believe God has enabled this to come to be on the ballot. I don't need to go through all the details on that. We've discussed some of it on the program in the past. I was down in Columbus at the State House when the basis of this issue passed out of the committee in the House, and there was a lot of tension. And then I watched online as Speaker Stevens allowed it to come to the floor and be voted on. And what I found interesting is that the coup that the Democrats successfully kept Derek Marins from becoming Speaker back in January, who was supposed to be the Speaker and was going to lead, one of the things that would have happened is what became issue one would have passed through the House probably back in January and been on the ballot in the last primary election. But Stevens, Jason Stevens, apparently had agreed with the Democrats to prevent this from happening, and this is what makes it all the more interesting. And, Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." And I believe nothing short of miraculous that God turned Jason Stevens' heart and changed his direction. And he not only brought it to a floor vote, which he said that he wouldn't, but I believe he even voted for it. And let's just say that the Democrats who had conspired with him to get him the speakership were not happy. They were extremely unhappy, and that's a mild understatement. And but God clearly turned his heart. And then, of course, there were a few challenges in the courts, but the courts ruled, and it is constitutional, and issue one is coming to the ballot on August the 8th. And it's very simple when you look at it. There's three things that it's going to do. One, it's going to require that any proposed amendment to the Constitution of the State of Ohio receive the approval of at least 60% of the eligible voters voting on a proposed amendment. We've talked about this, and we'll be talking about it in the future. You know, right now, 50% of the vote plus one vote, which could be something as little as 50.00001% of the vote, can change the Ohio Constitution. And this will require 60%, which will, of course, help ensure that you have a broad consensus of the electorate that's in support of something, rather than a bare minimum where you can just about guarantee that half the state's happy and half the state's not. The other thing that I find interesting is that it'll require that any initiative petition filed on or after January 1st, 2024, with the Secretary of State proposing proposing to amend the Constitution of the state of Ohio be signed by at least 5% of the electors of each county based on a total vote in the county for governor in the last preceding election. And a short version of what that means is right now, rural Ohioans do not have a voice in the Citizens Initiative effort to change the Constitution. You say, sure they do. They can sign a petition. No. Nobody goes to Noble County. Nobody goes to Washington County. Nobody goes to Guernsey County with a petition because there's not very many people there. They only have to go to 44 counties out of Ohio's 88. So they go to the 44 counties where they're going to get the most signatures. They concentrate on the heavily populated counties like Cuyahoga, Franklin, and such. And they go to those counties. They get all their signatures, and they could care less what people in Guernsey County or Dart County or Noble County or Adams County, something like that, think. This issue, if passed in August, will ensure that rural Ohioans get a voice in the petition process because they will have to go to those counties and they will have to get signatures in every single county in Ohio. I think that's a great thing. It gives voice. People say, oh, this takes away your voice. No, it gives voice to the voiceless in Ohio. And there's a lot more about that, but for time's sake, we're not going to go to all that right now. It'll also specify that any additional signatures may not be added to the initiative petition proposing to amend the Constitution like can be taking place right now. But there's just a couple of things there. We'll be talking more about this, and I'm going to be featuring some things here over the next few weeks because this election is coming up quickly, and I believe early voting is going to start on the 11th of July, which is just this Tuesday. So people are going to start voting for this. And let me encourage you, get out there, vote yes on issue one. There's a lot of good people who are giving out good reasons for this. Our friend Janet Folger Porter, who's been on the program with us in the past, sent me an audio clip to play. And we're going to play Janet Folger Porter talking about why you should vote for issue number one on August 8th.
Protect Ohio's babies and our Constitution by voting yes on August 8th. I'm Janet Porter, and I work to pass Ohio's ban on partial birth abortion, parental consent, and our heartbeat law to keep hearts beating. But if we don't vote yes on August 8th, we could lose them all. That's because of a deadly effort to inject abortion till birth in our state constitution. The threat is real. The polls are open. Your yes vote is urgent. Protect life. Vote yes on issue one by August 8th.
And I can't emphasize any more than what she has already. This is a vote to help, as I said, give a voice to the voiceless, and not only to those rural Ohioans that don't have a vote, but those unborn Ohioans that don't have a voice either. And I should have said the rural Ohioans who don't have a voice, their vote is actually canceled out oftentimes by urban centers, but they will have a voice, and you can be a voice for the voiceless, the voice for the unborn children who cannot defend themselves. And this is important because without this, we face the very real possibility of Ohio being turned from a pro-life state into a radical pro-death state overnight, with parental choice stripped away. Ohio Treasurer Robert Sprague said, and I heard him say it at a recent event, that if the abortion amendment passes in November, and abortion on demand up until the day of birth is enshrined in the Ohio Constitution, the state of Ohio will have no ability to regulate it anyway, and parents will have no ability to have a voice in their minor daughter's care in regards to abortion and in terms of transgender surgery. That's also there too. But he said you could have literally a pizza shop in the front of the building and an abortion clinic in the back of the building, and the pizza shop would be more highly regulated than the abortion clinic would. And that's pretty sad, but you read the amendment that's proposed and you'll see that. You can go online, Ohio Secretary of State's website, and you can read some of the ballot language on these things. But let me encourage you, vote yes on issue one on August the 8th. If you do early voting, get out there as soon as you can and vote yes. And encourage your friends to get out there and vote yes. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. I have our church newsletter tagged in there, and in that I list where our church helped to stuff envelopes to send out to other churches on this issue. A number of organizations across Ohio urging a yes vote. It's diverse as the Ohio Pork Council, Sportsman's Alliance, Ohio Chamber of Commerce, Ohio Gun Owners, Ohio Restaurant Association, the Associated Builders and Contractors of Ohio, the Ohio Farm Bureau, National Federation of Independent Business, Buckeye Firearms Association, the Ohio Hotel Lodging Association, as well as virtually all of the pro-life groups and all of the conservative Christian and conservative values groups have all recommended a yes. So who's recommending a no? Well, people like Planned Parenthood, NARAL, the teachers' unions, the labor unions, the Democrat Party, which incidentally in the state of Ohio requires 60% to modify their constitution. And they're saying 60% is taking away your voice. That's what they do in their own constitution. You know, all the people lined up against it are, you know, what, you know, the old thing, round up the usual suspects. Well, it's the usual suspects that are against it. And if nothing else, when you see who's for it, that ought to give you an indication of what side you ought to be on. So stand up and protect Ohio's constitution. Be a voice for the voiceless. And vote yes on issue one. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got Jeff who's patiently waiting for us tonight. Jeff, thank you for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Pastor. Thanks for having me on, and thank you for what you do.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm going to read two Bible verses from King James Bible.
Uh-huh.
And then make a brief statement, and then I'll wait for what you have to say.
All righty.
All right. Revelation 9:14, saying to the sixth angel,
mm-hmm.
which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Revelation 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up,
mm-hmm.
that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, I'm 62 years old. I've never seen or heard of this ever happening. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Well, you're right. It hasn't happened.
It's shocking to me. But the Euphrates River is gone. It's dried up right now.
Yeah, we have, or I shouldn't say we, they have the ability to stop the water flow in the Euphrates River right now. And you're absolutely right. This is a new thing. This has not been possible until just in, you know, recent decades. I'm not sure how long they've had the ability. The Euphrates River's had a number of canals and stuff to divert water for irrigation purposes and things like that. But with the dams and things that they have on the Euphrates now, they can stop the flow completely. And it's entirely possible to do this. And, of course, here in the passages that you cited here in Revelation, this is something that's going to happen during the tribulation period. And this goes back to what I was saying in the last half hour to Nancy about Luke chapter 21, when Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, you know, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. We're sitting here at a time in human history where never before has this been able to happen, and now we see it can happen. And this tells me we're seeing the things of the tribulation drawing nigh, And that ties in directly with what Jesus said. When you see them, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. So, this tells us our time is short. That's what I would say with that.
I've seen the videos where, I mean, it's like the Mississippi River is dried up. It's that big a river.
Exactly. And they divert the water into other places. And we've seen this on other streams. It's just like the Colorado River out in the western part of the United States. You know, when you get past the Mississippi, watershed, and you get into the Colorado River watershed, it's a major watershed. The Colorado River, of course, goes down through the Grand Canyon and into the Sea of Cortez or the Gulf of California. And we have diverted so much water from the Colorado River that by the time you get down to where it empties into the Gulf of California, it's like a muddy trickle. You know, basically we've dried it up. And so we see that happening with the Euphrates. And when you look at this during the tribulation period of time, there's going to come leading up to that final battle of Armageddon, when it's going to be dry, because periodically they do let some water through, but it's going to be dry. And as a passageway, basically, as it says right there, you read, what was it?
You've seen the videos.
Yeah. The way the kings of the East prepared. Yeah.
They found things that they've never, ever seen in their lives before.
Yes.
In the middle of the river.
Exactly.
They found caverns that flow down underground in the middle of this river, that they're hearing things that are scaring them so much that they're afraid to go anywhere near them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it does make you wonder, because like you said, as it said, what was that in chapter 9? Let me go back there. That was what, verse 14. Yeah, let me get back there, verse 14. Yeah, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And it does make you kind of wonder, but as you look at it, notice verse 15. That's why I wanted to go back here. Okay. Notice verse 15 where it says, and the four angels were loosed, and this is key, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. So there's a particular time that they are going to be loose for a particular purpose. And along with that, we have in verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And yeah, 200 million. And you know, this is the size of an army that easily could be mustered by the kings of the East. You look at China, you look at India, either of them can field tremendous sized armies. And it says that by these, a third part of the men were killed in verse number 18. So this would be the implication, since when the four angels are loosed, verse 15 says they're to slay a third part of men. So apparently they are going to instigate and motivate this army that is going to, according to Revelation chapter 9, kill a third part of the people there. Verse 18, by these three was a third part of men killed. And of course, three is referring to the types of armies that were come through there. And appears that they come from the east, from what we read over there in chapter 16.
They've been big on building that Silk Road. And
yes, absolutely.
Now would be as good a time as ever to make a move.
Yeah, so the time is coming, but like you said, they're prepared for a time.
I understand it. Yeah. It's, I don't understand it, and I'm just making a statement.
Oh,
I think it's at hand soon.
And like I said, this would be during the tribulation period, and if we see it set up as much as we can see it, like you said with the videos and all, where you can see the dry riverbed and the ability to keep it dry and the things that are happening, This really does suggest what Jesus said. When you see these things begin to happen, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. This is what tells me we're in the latter days. You know, I think that things could be closer than we might otherwise expect. So that's why we're supposed to keep watching and waiting, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So
I just think it's a sign.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up for us tonight, Jeff. We got a break coming up. Anything, last thing you want to mention with that?
It's just, like I said, I'm 62. I've never seen anything like this before, as far as the Euphrates.
Yeah, I'm the same age, and I've not seen it before either. There's a lot of things that we're seeing that we've never seen in our lifetimes, have we? And it's just things coming together in a way that we never would have thought possible, even 20 years ago. What's that?
How much time we got?
Yeah, we just got about 2 minutes, and we're going to come up on the break here. So
I had a question about an entirely different subject, but I didn't want to draw off from what I just said.
No, well, what you said was actually pretty good, and that's a good thing for people to remember, because we are supposed to look at these things. And you know, there's a threefold promise at the book of the Revelation about those that read what's in the book and keep what's in the book and listen to what's in the book. And these are things that's in the book. People need to look at this. A lot of people avoid it. So thank you for bringing that up.
If I could say this, then, is if you're listening to this, people, listen. I mean, the first hour is just, your first half hour is just, it's been a wonderful show tonight. But what I want to say is just, you can see for your own eyes, you know, you can hear with your own ears that it is, the end is near. It's at the door knocking. Will you answer, please?
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the reasons we're supposed to reach out with the gospel message, so we can reach as many people as possible. So, Jeff, thank you for bringing this up for us tonight. And you'll have to call us back again with more on this and with your other question as well. So again, I appreciate your call there tonight. So, all right. Well, I think we'll pick up hopefully with Jeff another time here, and we've got another caller who's hanging on, and we'll hope you'll Terry, hang on. We'll catch you after the break here. We are coming up on the break again. Check us out online, live at pastoral.com, and we've got some information on issue one there. And as Jeff brought up, you know, we look at the things that are happening, and again, that just reminds me more and more. You know, Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't get overstressed. Look to Jesus. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're one up on everybody else. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, now is the time to investigate the claims of the gospel. Put your faith in Christ. Be prepared so that you can look up knowing your redemption is nigh and knowing which side you're going to be on there in those latter-day events. Stay tuned.